I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
How about you let me drive?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, everybody, just got about 18 minutes left in today's trading session. We've got stocks. Yeah, we're in the green. So we're off our worst levels of the session, as you just heard from Charlie. But just call it little changed on the day. We really are just getting into the thick of earnings and trying to make sense and just on guard about any other problems in the banking sector. So, I mean, Jess, volume, what's volume like today?
I mean, still, it's not as high as you would think relative to the last 20 days. And I think a lot of that is just the same things we've been talking about, Carol, waiting on those more regional banks. Like, say, on Thursday, we're going to get the third Key Corp as well, U.S. Bank. So I think that's really more of the focus later on this week.
All right, so let's get to it with our guest. Back with us is Doug Scioca, CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners. They've got over $1 billion in assets under management, based, as you know, in Leawood, Kansas, and joining us on the phone once again, actually via Zoom. Hey, we can see you. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
Doing okay. Trying to keep up with the flow here and trying to make sense. You know, it's funny. I wanted to kind of kick it off with you, Doug, earlier with Romaine and Scarlett. The four of us were talking about, and Scarlett brought up what's going on with the VIX, and it's what, below 18, I think 17 and change. I don't quite get it. 1697. Do you care about the VIX? Do you think it's a reliable indicator of something? Because it just feels like we're in this market environment where we're not quite sure what's next, and yet there feels like a fair amount of complacency.
Yeah, and we may have used a little bit of, maybe pulled forward some of this year's last year, Carol. I think last year there were 46 different trading days with 2% moves up or down. And actually it was 23 and 23 equally divided, which is pretty fantastic. And this year I think we've had two. So I think we saw so much fitful trading, indecision, obviously credit exported equity volatility. And this year, even though we know that the Fed may have one more hike and maybe they won't cut as much as the market's been pricing in, I think there is a set of a bit of complacency that's setting in. But I think more than anything, it's just that an exhaustion with the type of intraday trading activity that had become the norm throughout 2022.
Is it exhaustion, or is it signs of we're kind of finishing up or getting near the end of this market cycle?
Yeah, I think nothing's been as bad as had been anticipated going into 2023. Even when you throw in the issues that had transpired with the banking mini crisis, right? Mm. And I think when you saw what had transpired with this fear of contagion, that very anxious weekend, we weren't sure what, if any, additional deposits were going to be covered by the FDIC or the Fed. And then it just kind of played itself out, and we realized that some of the additional liquidity could be a bit of a salve for otherwise deeper wounds that could have transpired, even though it may have been kind of the sword that caused the affliction to begin with.
Doug, let's talk about earnings season. We've gotten a number of these bigger banks as well as regional banks. Now, I know you're thinking more, this is obviously more backward looking, but if you look a year out, earnings growth is supposed to be back to double digits. What are you expecting? And is that why you might have a little bit more of an optimistic look when you are seeing earnings improving a year from now?
Yeah, it's a great question, Jess. And I think one of the things that's been so pronounced this year, and it's only been one quarter, but patience has been kind of the enemy of performance, right? The valuation gap going into 2023 between international and domestic closed very quickly. High tech sector went from like incredible laggard to darling leader. The banking issues pulled forward the bulk of the bond move that we'd hope we'd see throughout all of 2023. So when you consider what's happening in earnings, we try to overlay this whole concept of a rolling recession, right? And that's just another way of characterizing, right, relative value of certain sectors based upon, you know, a few things, correlation with interest rates, with underlying economic growth, and with sentiment. So when you're in an environment for which we think is going to be higher for longer interest rates, slowish economic growth, sectors that benefit from scale, from inelastic demand, from low leverage, from multinational distribution networks, those should hold investors' interest. And we're starting to see that as they're coming to kind of the earnings reporting table in healthcare, staples, communication services. And then even outside of those, within the rolling recession camp, you have idiosyncratic sort of tactical opportunities in sectors like energy and in sectors like agriculture. Because even though supply lines have improved, supply hasn't. So we're seeing that an overestimation of just how negative the economic decline of 2022 is going to have an impact in their profit models, and it's just not materialized.
So is this a market where we can kind of make smart decisions, Doug, based on fundamentals versus kind of a technical trade?
I think so, right? Everyone is, it's probably an overused expression on every program about being a stock picker's market. But I do think, right, if you look at the last 3 years, what's underperformed? Quality. Right, quality companies have been left behind. What's underperformed even more than quality, sort of a subcategory? Dividend paying stocks. So if you have those two subsets that are providing comfort in balance sheet, income statement, and valuations, then yeah, I do think there can be specific spots where you can actually see identifiable alpha generating opportunities, no question.
Doug, you're talking about quality companies and dividend paying stocks. What specific sectors or some industries are you recommending clients buy right now?
Yeah, so going back to healthcare staples, communication services, definitely dipping our toe into some financial services companies where we think just the valuation were just blown out way beyond anything that could have been deserved because of the expected contagion with Silicon Valley Bank and Signature Bank. And then even like in places like agriculture, we think there's a lot of opportunity.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. You know, we've been spending a lot of time here, Doug, talking about kind of agriculture, what's going on, disruption, innovation. We're going to have somebody on from Bowery Farming later, but just there's a lot going on in that space as the world tries to make sure there's enough food for everybody. Where don't you want to be in this market?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think we were excited about extending duration in our fixed income portfolios. And then with the massive rally we saw coming out of that second week in March, issues with the financial, with the banking sector, that was kind of arbitraged away. So we don't want to be too long in our duration right now in our fixed income portfolios. You know, we don't want to be too aggressive in growth sectors of the market because we just don't think there's going to be any type of multiple expansion, not when you have a slower growing economy and higher interest rates. So even though it's been exciting to see what's happened in tech, I think it could provide an opportunity to take some profits in that area, particularly if you're in a sector or a company that's seeing a pretty significant expansion of their multiple.
All right, so more optimistic or more pessimistic bottom line about the outlook? Sounds like optimistic.
Oh my gosh, but yeah. By a lot, right? Yeah. I think there are some interesting lessons we learned from the Fed coming out of this little banking crisis, right? You can't live in the lab. And I think regulators are really good at implementing policies to prevent the previous crisis. And because of that, the messaging really, really matters. When it gets convoluted, and when you see sort of babies in bathwater indiscriminately sold and thrown out, that's where opportunity really, really lies very heavily with us. There's a really cool piece you guys probably saw over the weekend that came from Bloomberg Intelligence talking about this regime model.
Yeah.
And everyone's so obsessed about how are we going to a recession, how deep is the recession, is it going to be 23 or 24?
Right.
But they talk about with really reliable inputs is we may have been in one.
Yeah.
And we really have seen a lot of reasons for being optimistic, which has kept people engaged in stocks.
I love when you quote Bloomberg stories.
I wrote that story.
Oh, Jess wrote it. Doug Scioca. How great is that? All right, Doug, be well. Doug is CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners joining us from Leawood, Kansas.